Am I doing it right?
You don't have to be quite so gentle.
Tell me again.
Tell you about what?
About the Stembolts.
I have 100 gross of self sealing Stembolts sitting in Cargo Bay 11.
And they're all mine?
For only 10 bars of gold pressed latinum.
Quark, you don't know how much this means to me.
You don't know how much this means to me.
With those Stembolts, my family will be able to triple production of our reverse ratcheting routing planners.
Glad to be of help.
Oh, Quark, I can't wait any longer. Why don't you and I go down to Cargo Bay 11 and sign the contract?
No need to rush. Your family ship won't be here for a week. We'll have plenty of time to finalize the deal before then.
That's an unusual attitude for a Ferengi.
I'm a very unusual Ferengi. That must be the Saurian brandy I ordered. Enter. Rom, where's my brandy?
Forget the brandy, brother. You must leave here immediately. And that goes for the female as well.
Something wrong?
There's nothing wrong. Have you lost your mind? She's willing. She's wealthy. And she wants to buy our Stembolts.
It's going to have to wait. Something important has come up.
Right now, nothing is more important than this.
They stare at the head of a scepter.
Renegasek.
As big as life.
An attendant gestures for them to leave.
Go, go.
The woman runs out as a small hooded figure steps forward carrying the scepter. Mehadiu, the Nagus's huge attendant, creeps behind looking worriedly at Quark, who turns to watch them shuffle past.
What does Zek want with me?
Looks like he's moving in with you, brother.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Deep Space Nine, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Profit Motive. A huge comet rushes through space, the light of billions of stars illuminating the frozen gas it leaves in its wake. Alone in the freezing blackness of a universe littered with stars and planets, the immense space station Deep Space Nine is dwarfed by the comet as it rushes past into the depths of space. The space station comprises a column and an inner and outer tube on a flat plane. The circles are huge tubes attached to each other and the central column by large metal arms. Deep Space Nine seems almost spherical. Three semicircular arms bend vertically, equidistant apart, towards the center, but do not meet. Lights flash all over the space station. The regular blinking of navigation and positioning lights maintain its visibility. Along the inner and outer circular tubes, small blocks of square lights signify the windows of crew and civilian quarters in the habitat rings. The intense light of a distant star glares off the mud-colored hull, picking out the huge features of the giant space station. The shadows created only serve to emphasize the mystery of the former Cardassian stronghold. Lights shine in military order around the upper central segment of the central core, housing the operations room atop the power center. A Federation runabout flies over Deep Space Nine, and in the distance the blackness of space shifts. Blue light bursts from a spatial phenomenon. From nothing, the swirling, circular shape of the wormhole becomes visible. As quickly as it appeared, the wormhole is gone, folding in on itself and disappearing in a flash of intense pale blue light. Dr. Bashir studies test data in the infirmary.
Cisco to Bashir.
This is Bashir.
Doctor, please report to the wardroom immediately.
On my way. What's this?
Champagne.
Congratulations, Doctor.
Well, thank you. Now, will someone please tell me what's going on?
The Federation Medical Council has announced the nominees for this year's Carrington Award. And the nominees are Dr. April Wade of the University of Nairobi, Healer Senva of the Vulcan Medical Institute, Dr. Henri Roger of the Central Hospital of Altair IV, Chirurgeon Guy Petrel of Andoria, and Dr. Julian Bashir, Chief Medical Officer of Starbase Deep Space Nine. Yeah. Good luck.
There must be some mistake. As far as I know, my name wasn't even up for consideration.
Oh, it was up for consideration. I submitted it myself through an old friend of Curzon's.
You deserve the nomination, Doctor. Your work on biomolecular replication was both audacious and groundbreaking. According to Dax, anyway. She's the only one who understands it.
So, how does it feel to be the youngest nominee in the history of the Carrington Award?
It feels good. Excuse me. Oh, I've got to finish some work. What exactly is it you want me to say?
I want you to say that you are thrilled beyond belief to be nominated for the Federation's most prestigious medical award.
Well, believe me, I'm honored to have been nominated.
Well, you're not acting like it.
It's just that I don't want everyone to make a big deal out of it.
It is a big deal. We're all proud of you.
I'm glad, but before you agonize over the next few days over the board's decision, I want to assure you that I'm not going to win.
You don't know that. The work you've been doing deserves to be recognized.
But this isn't about my work. Do you know what the average life expectancy of a Carrington Award winner is? 5 years. 10 at the very best. And do you know why? Because the Carrington Award is intended to be the crowning achievement for a lifetime in medicine. April Wade is 106. The last time she was nominated, 3 years ago, people said it was premature.
You're exaggerating.
Maybe, a little. But the undeniable truth is I am way too young to be a serious contender for the Carrington. Now, put my name up for nomination in 70 years, and I promise you I will get very excited. But until then, I don't plan on giving it much thought.
That's a very mature attitude.
You sound surprised.
I'm actually astonished, but impressed.
So then we don't have to dwell on it for the next 3 days?
I won't mention it again.
I appreciate that, Jadzia.
So who do you think's going to win, Wade or Petrel?
Quark steps out of a room, pulling on his jacket, and crosses to a replicator.
A cup of millipede juice. Hold the shells. Rom! Rom! Rom!
Rom enters with an electronic device pressed dear.
Did you call me, brother?
Would it be too much trouble for you to put these empty bottles in the replicator?
Keeping my quarters clean is Nog's job.
Except Nog is on the home world visiting his grandmother.
Then cleaning will just have to wait until he gets back.
No, it won't. Until the Negus gives me back my own quarters, this is my home too, and I have had enough of this mess. Clean it up now.
I won't.
Yes, you will. It's bad enough I've had to put up with your constant teeth grinding every night and your incessant ear picking, but I will not tolerate living like some packled refuge merchant for another...
Wait a minute.
This is a bottle of Aldebaran whiskey.
Let me, brother.
I recognize this label. This is from my private stock.
No, it's not.
It most certainly is. Wait a minute. What's that over there?
Trixie and bubble juice?
Nog's favorite. This came from my stock room, didn't it?
Are you accusing my son of being a thief?
No. I'm accusing you of being a thief. These table linens... This chair, that table, everything in here comes from my bar.
Not everything.
When you're done cleaning up, I'm going to conduct a complete inventory and find out exactly what you've stolen from me. Now get to work.
No, I refuse. I work for you all day, brother, but here I'm the boss. If you want this place cleaned up, do it yourself.
What I want is my own quarters back.
That makes two of us. Living with you was bad enough when we were children.
What do I do?
You think.
What do you mean, I think?
You stay up late every night plotting and scheming. And when you think, you mumble. And if there's anything I can't stand, it's listening to you mumble.
That does it. I have been accommodating long enough. If the Negus wants to stay on the station, he's gonna have to find someplace else to live.
Quark stands up and strides out of Rom's quarters. He steps across the corridor to the opposite door and is about to press the buzzer when he stops.
Are you sure this is a good idea? No one's seen the nigger since he got here. He must be working on something important. If you disturb him, he might get very angry.
I'm not going to disturb him. You are.
Me? Why not you?
Zek likes me, so I can't afford to get on his bad side. On the other hand, he barely acknowledges your existence. So you have nothing to lose. Now, get in there and tell the Negus he'll have to leave. And whatever happens, don't let Mehadu intimidate you,
Where are you going?
Don't worry. If you need me, I'll be close by.
Rom! What can I do for you, my boy?
Brand Negus! Forgive me for disturbing you.
Who's disturbed? I've been hoping someone would drop by. Now come right in.
Why? Thank you. We'd be delighted.
Quark, I knew you'd be lurking around here someplace. Well, what are we standing out here for? I've got something very exciting to show you both.
What happened to my furniture?
I got rid of it. It was getting in the way of my work.
And what work was that, Grand Negus? If I may be so bold.
I'm glad you asked. May her do. The book.
He takes a book from Mehodu and clasps it to his chest.
You are about to read the shining triumph of my life. The one thing I'll always be remembered for.
May I?
By all means.
The rules of acquisition, revised for the modern Varenk. You rewrote the rules of acquisition.
I hope you like them. Absorb. Enjoy.
Rom, you know what this means?
Yes. It means we're going to have to memorize a whole new set of rules.
No, you idiot. It means we'll be the first Ferengi to benefit from Zek's wisdom. The knowledge contained in this book can make us both rich beyond our wildest dreams.
I'll be able to go into business for myself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, turn the page, brother. Turn the page.
The first rule of acquisition is...
Go on.
If they want their money back...
Yes.
Give it to them.
If they want their money back, give it to them.
Stunned, they look at each other and turn to Mehidu, sobbing in the corner.
Rule number 21. Never place profit before friendship.
Oh.
Rule number 22. Latinum tarnishes, but family is forever. Rule 23, money can never replace dignity.
Oh, skip to the end. Well, what is it?
Oh, you're not gonna like it, brother.
I can take it. Tell me.
Rule number 285, a good deed is its own reward. Brother, are you all right?
I just have to sit down. Oh, take it away.
Sorry.
Got to think. There has to be some explanation or reason for why he's doing this.
Maybe we should ask him.
No. Don't you see? He's testing us. Yes, that must be it. It's some kind of test. The book.
You want to hear more?
No, but it must be some kind of code. Read me the first word of every rule.
If, never, keep, profit, good, smile, honesty.
If, never, keep profit, a good smile, honesty.
What does it mean, brother?
It means absolutely nothing. Maybe if we hold the pages up to the light. No.
He licks around the edges of the book.
No, that's not it. The answer must be right in front of us.
I know! Maybe the Negus has gone insane.
Nonsense. The Negus is the most brilliant Ferengi alive. I've modeled my life after him. Don't ever let me hear you speak that way about him again.
But what if he really believes all this?
How can he believe his insanity? No, it has to be part of some brilliant, twisted, devious plan. The Negus isn't like you and me, Rom. He thinks 10, sometimes 20 steps ahead. These rules are probably the key component in some vast plot to seize financial control of the entire quadrant.
So what do we do?
The only thing we can do, we put down this book and we walk away. And when the Negus feels ready, he'll inform us of his plans. But until then, we have to act as if we know nothing.
I can do that.
Rom cleans a glass, lost in thought at the counter in Quark's bar. Quark leans against the window frame beside him as Mayhew and Zek enter.
If never keep profit, a good smile, honesty. Nah.
Quark, my boy, what say we buy everyone a drink? Put it on my tab.
But why?
Because it will make everyone happy. And that will make me happy.
It must all be part of his plan. Wheels within wheels, brother.
Drinks for everyone. Compliments of the Grand Negus. Is there anything else I can get you, Negus? We just got in a shipment of quality Hupyrian beetle snuff.
Actually, I've lost my taste for beetle snuff. It might be fun for you and me, but it's no fun for the beetles. Oh, and by the way, Quark, I just met the most lovely young female. She came by your quarters looking for you.
Was her name Emmy by any chance?
She wanted me to tell you that her family ship has arrived with the Latinum.
It's about time. Rom, watch the bar. We're finally going to get rid of those stem bolts.
I don't think so.
But we have a contract.
Which was never signed. And frankly, Quark, you were charging an outrageous price for those stem bolts.
She didn't seem to think so.
Well, she did once I explained it to her.
You what?
Well, I couldn't allow you to take advantage of an innocent young female like that, Quark. So, I told her where she could get all the stem bolts she needed at wholesale.
Wholesale? He told her where to get them at wholesale. What am I going to do with 100 gross of stem bolts?
My poor brother.
Oh, don't worry about him. Eventually he'll sell those stem bolts at a fair price.
A fair price? I'm very confused.
That's understandable. It'll take some time to get used to the new ways.
New ways?
Walk with me, Rom.
As Zek leads Rom away, Mayhew rushes behind the bar and pours himself a large glass of blue liquid. He downs it in one, his face creased with worry. In a cargo bay, Julian and Miles are playing darts.
Your turn.
I don't know about this.
You'd rather play a game of racquetball?
Chief, since Keiko's been on Bajor, we've played 106 games of racquetball.
Right, so throw a dart.
I'm a bit rusty.
So am I. I guess the smart money's on Wade or Petrel.
That seems to be the general consensus.
I mean, Dr. Wade is very popular, but Petrel is doing some amazing work in gerontological research. Which one do you think will win?
Either of them would be a worthy recipient of the Carrington.
Of course, if I had me druthers, the award would go to you.
Thank you.
But let's face it, you don't stand a chance.
You don't say.
I mean, I know you're talented. But I bet there's doctors all over the Federation saying, Julian Bashir? Who the hell is he?
Chief, you are absolutely right.
I'm glad you agree.
So, how much longer is Keiko going to be on Bajor?
As Miles' dart hits the floor, Julian smiles sweetly at him and Miles concedes.
Make sure the relief shipment is sent by high warp courier, and don't worry about the cost.
Rom, what's all this?
You're looking at the sector headquarters for the Ferengi Benevolent Association.
A Ferengi rushes to Quark, pointing at a data recorder. Quark pushes him angrily away.
Brother, I don't have time to talk to you. I have work to do. I'm the new senior administrator of the Ferengi Benevolent Association. You know, brother, I never realized how many people there are that could use a little help.
If you don't get down to the bar right now, you're the one going to need a little help.
Well, the Negus said you'd react like this.
The Negus is a smart man.
Oh, he's more than that. He's a visionary. He has plans, brother, and I'm going to be a part of them.
What would the Negus possibly want with you?
Oh, he says I'm malleable. And that he's going to mold me into a new kind of Ferengi, an evolved Ferengi.
Evolved? Into what?
I'm not sure exactly. The Negus says that the answers lie in his new rules of acquisition. He told me, Rom, it's time for the Ferengi to move beyond greed.
Beyond greed? There's nothing beyond greed. Greed is the purest, most noble of emotions.
Greed is dead. That's the 10th rule of acquisition.
No, it's not. The 10th rule of acquisition is greed is eternal.
Not anymore. The Negus is going to shake the very foundation of Ferengi society. And we're going to be at his side every step of the way.
What do you mean, we?
The Negus has made you co-chairman of the Benevolent Association. Oh, your name will figure prominently on all our correspondence.
He never mentioned anything about that to me.
The Negus wouldn't dream of excluding you, brother. As soon as we get the Benevolent Association established here, the Negus plans on returning to the home world, and we'll go with him. Think of it. You and I will be there when Zek personally announces the new rules of acquisition on the grand steps of the sacred marketplace.
We'll be there, all right. And we'll probably be right alongside of him when they throw him from the spire of the Tower of Commerce.
The Tower of Commerce? But that's the tallest building in the Ferengi Alliance. Fall from that height could.
Exactly. Don't you see, Ron? There's something terribly wrong with the Negus. And we have to help him before he gets us all killed.
That tickles!
Well, I must say, for a Ferengi your age, you're in excellent health. Aside from some vascular damage to your mucous membranes, you really should stop using that beetle snuff.
As a matter of fact, I already have.
I'm glad to hear it.
Does this mean you'll have to go in for some exploratory surgery?
Why would I do that?
To find out what's wrong with him.
There's nothing wrong with him, Quark.
That's not true. There's something deeply wrong with him, and you have to find out what it is.
I've done every test I can think of. There's no trauma, brain damage, mental illness. His central nervous system's working within normal parameters, and his endocrine system's in terrific shape.
You see? I told you. They're like a couple of nervous investors, always looking for trouble. Oh, well, I suppose I should be flattered. Thank you, Doctor. You've been very helpful.
No. He's sick, I tell you. You have to perform more tests.
Quark, if you don't get out of here, I'll perform more tests on you.
You have to do something.
Like what?
Put him in stasis. Keep him from hurting himself until you can figure out what is wrong with him.
I don't think that's necessary.
I can't believe you're supposed to be one of the 5 best doctors in the Federation. If you ask me, you're a quack. No wonder everyone says you don't have a chance to win the Carrant. Let's go. Maybe we can make an appointment for you to see Dr. Wei.
Good luck. If I remember correctly, Nairobi is beautiful this time of year.
Here, Doctor, for your trouble.
I can't accept that.
Why not? It's only money. Donate it to charity if you'd like.
And you say he's not sick.
Oh, and Doctor, I do hope you'll attend tomorrow night's ceremony.
Ceremony?
At the Bajoran Shrine on the promenade. I intend to give a gift to the Bajoran people.
A gift? What kind of gift?
It's a surprise. You'll find out tomorrow night, like everyone else. Now come along, we have a lot of work to do before then. So many needy people, so little time.
In the airlock outside Zek's shuttle, Rom taps a chisel into a lock on the door.
Aren't you done yet?
Breaking into the Negus' personal shuttle somehow seems wrong, brother.
I don't care. I have to know what he intends to give the Bajorans.
But the Negus wants it to be a surprise.
I hate surprises. Now hurry it up before someone...
Mayhar, do. As you can see, my brother and I were repairing the door locks on the Negus's...
They cower in terror as he pushes a button on a device in his hand, but their fear turns to utter surprise as the door opens and Mayhew steps between them, kneeling inside and beckoning them to follow. Bent almost double by the low ceiling, Mayhew enters the shuttle and picks up a box. Light glows from oval portals on each of its four sides. Placing it carefully in front of Quark, he steps away.
This is the gift?
What is it?
It's one of the missing Bajoran orbs, Rom. An orb of the prophets. I tell you, this orb explains everything. Sex behavior, the new rules, the Ferengi Benevolent Association, everything.
It does? How?
I'm not sure, but I'm going to find out. Don't just stand there. Talk to me. I know how you feel. What are you doing?
I thought we should look inside. I mean, we don't know for certain that there's an orb in here. Maybe Zex just gives them the box.
Don't be ridiculous.
But how will we know unless we look?
Rom, it's too dangerous. Leave it alone.
But brother,
I said leave it alone.
Bathed in swirling light, Quark suddenly finds himself in his empty bar sitting on a Darbo wheel.
Rom? May I do? Morn? Anybody?
What's the matter, Quark? Spinning out of control, are we?
Grand Nagus?
Maybe. Maybe not.
Spinning wildly on the Darbo wheel, he suddenly stops in front of an orb box. He opens it and Zek's head appears.
Looking for answers? You couldn't find them if they were dangling from your lobes. Where's that old Quark cleverness I've heard so much about? Are you so paralyzed with fear that you can't think straight? Answer me, Quark. What are you so nervous about? Don't you think change is worth dying for? All I want is a little leap of faith.
The Nagus jumps from the upper level of the bar.
Nice catch! That's the wonderful thing about mysteries. Sometimes the answers just fall from the sky. What do you have to lose? Open it!
Suddenly behind the counter, Quark opens the box and stares down. Slowly he picks up a new book of rules. In a flash, the bar is filled with people.
Consider it a gift!
Are you all right?
A gift.
A gift?
Zek said the new rules were a gift.
A gift from Zek to the Ferengi people?
No, a gift to Zek from them. Don't you see? They did it. They put the idea for the new rules into Zek's head. They changed him somehow.
They did? How dare they? Who are we talking about, brother?
The prophets, the aliens that live inside the wormhole. They did this to him, didn't they? Tell me everything.
Easy, brother. You know you Pyrian servants take a vow only to speak to the masters.
You're right. Hey, give him a handkerchief or something. I'm going to try to break into Zek's personal logs. According to Zek's logs, he obtained the orb from one of his contacts on Cardassia 3. From there, he headed straight for the wormhole. His ship's log shows that he entered the wormhole, stayed inside for only a few minutes, then reversed course and came here.
You think he went in there to talk to the prophets?
In his personal logs, Zek said that the future was looking very bright indeed. Don't you get it? According to Dax, the wormhole aliens can see through time. The Nagus must have thought that he could convince him to let him see the future. That way, he could anticipate economic changes throughout the galaxy.
The opportunity for profit would have been enormous. But instead, he created the new rules of acquisition. Why?
Something must have gone terribly wrong. But I intend to set it right.
How, brother?
I have an idea.
Does it involve me?
Not really.
I like it.
Odo slowly descends the stairs from the second level of the promenade deck. His sharp eyes scan all around, searching. Suddenly, he spots Dr. Bashir sitting at a table in the replomat, working on a data recorder. He walks around the staircase and crosses to the table.
May I join you, Doctor?
By all means. And what can I do for you?
It's what I can do for you. I have a friend at Starfleet Intelligence, and she has a friend who has a cousin who's married to the assistant of one of the members of the Federation Medical Council.
Really?
And according to my friend heard something from his cousin that his wife heard from the council member that I thought you might find interesting.
Which is?
Dr. Wade is not going to win the Carrington.
Oh, not you too.
Doctor, I thought you'd be delighted.
Even if that's true, and mind you, I'm not saying that it is. The only one that has reason to celebrate is Guy Petrel.
Perhaps, but Petrel is by no means as popular as Dr. Wade.
According to your friend.
Actually, according to my friend's friends.
I get the picture.
The point is, if it's not going to be Wade, it could be anyone. Petrel, Senva, Roger, even you.
I didn't think I was going to win before. And I don't think I'm going to win now.
Is that a fact? Then why have you been working on your acceptance speech?
How did you know?
Just a guess.
With a wry, victorious smile, Odo stands up and walks away. The doctor looks down at his data pad, his eyes wide with surprise. In Quark's quarters, the Negus sits at a bank of consoles in front of a large window.
Solar flares could be so devastating to a planet's agriculture. Now, let me see. At current market rates, 2,000 tons of Colonese barley would cost me 189 bars of gold-pressed platinum. But it's worth it. I can have the first shipment of barley on the way to you in the way... Oh, hold on. I'll be right back. How can I help you, boys?
Rom, Quark, and Mayhadew look at each other, and suddenly Mayhadew throws a bag over Zek's head. Peering round a corner, Quark and Rom lead Mayhadew down a corridor. The huge attendant carries the Negus in a sack slung over his shoulder.
Wait. I have to be sure that he's all right. Grand Negus, can you hear me? Are you okay?
Don't worry, Quark. I forgive you.
You hear that? We have to help him.
Mayhadew gently puts Zek on a seat in his shuttle. The Negus is still wrapped in the sack as Quark sits beside him.
Brother, this is a very brave thing you're doing, taking the Negus back to the wormhole. I wish I could come with you, but I can't. Goodbye.
Go on, get out of here before you have me crying too.
Come on.
Don't worry, everything's going to be okay.
Blasting away from the space station, the beetle-shaped shuttle flies into the wormhole as it swirls open before them. Inside the wormhole, lines of bright blue arcing light flash around the shuttle and it shakes in the turbulence. On board, Quark reverently opens the sack and rolls it away from Zek's face.
You know, my boy, I should be very angry with you.
Are you?
And not in the slightest. I can't help myself. I like you! Now, where have you taken me?
Into the wormhole. What's going on?
This is exactly what happened the last time I was in here. The wormhole aliens are delightful people, but they like their privacy.
So you did meet them. How did you make contact?
Well, I see you've brought the Orb of Wisdom with you. That should do the trick. Now, if you really want to get their attention, open the box. That's what I did.
Sounds simple enough.
You better hurry. I got the dampening field on this ship for a substantial discount.
Opening the box, Quark is once more bathed in swirling pink light. Staring in wonder at his hand, he finds himself in a blank white space. Suddenly, images of Sisko, Kira, Umox with Emmy, and cards with Dax fill his mind.
Hello? Hello? Is anyone there?
It is corporeal.
Doctor, what are you doing in here?
A physical entity. Not another one.
I get it.
You're the wormhole aliens. Or would you rather be called the prophets? I never could figure that one out.
Did the Sisko send you?
What? Sisko? What does he have to do with anything?
The Sisko taught us about corporeal life forms.
About linguistic communication.
And linear time.
I know all about it. He's quite a guy, but I'm not here to talk about Sisko.
Then why are you here?
I'm here to talk about the Negus.
The Negus?
The other Ferengi who visited you. The one who brought the orb.
We are aware of the Zek.
He came to see you to ask for help. He wanted to learn about the future.
The Zek wanted to know the outcome of the game before it was played.
That's right. So what went wrong?
At first, we did not understand the Zek's request. The Sisko said that corporeal beings value their linear existence.
The Zek wanted to understand events outside the restrictions of linear time.
He wanted to see the future so he could gain by it.
Yes, the Zek explained the value of gain, how more is preferable to less.
He taught you about profit.
We found the concept aggressive.
Adversarial.
Dangerous. We could not comprehend how any species could lead such a barren existence.
It has its advantages.
We don't agree. We found the Zek's adversarial nature invasive, threatening.
We examined your species history, the totality of your existence. We discovered that you have not always been as you are now.
We haven't?
There was a time when your people's acquiring nature was not so pronounced.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that you somehow de-evolved the Negus?
We have restored the Zek to an earlier, less adversarial state of existence.
You can't do that. The Negus is the financial leader of billions of Ferengi. I demand that you re-evolve him immediately.
This one is adversarial too.
Aggressive. Intrusive.
We should do to this one what we did with the other. Restore it to a pure existence.
Counteract its adversarial nature.
Wait, let's not be hasty. There's nothing wrong with acquiring profit.
That is what the Zek said.
And he was right. Look, I don't know how you people live, but all of us corporeal linear whatevers have certain things in common. And one of those things is the need to improve ourselves. Our ambition to improve ourselves motivates everything we do. Without ambition, without, dare I say it, greed, people would lie around all day doing nothing. It wouldn't work. They wouldn't bathe. They wouldn't even eat. They'd starve to death. Is that what you want? Are you so isolated and detached that you would sit back and allow the extinction of every corporeal being in the galaxy?
Your argument is specious. Changing you will not result in the termination of all corporeal existence.
All right. So maybe I exaggerated a little.
We should alter this one and return it to its own species.
Agreed. It is best to avoid contact with this species.
Wait! If you don't want to have any more contact with the Ferengi, that's fine with me, but by altering me, you won't be avoiding contact. You'll be encouraging it. My people are very inquisitive, and if you change me, they're going to want to know what happened, and they're going to come here to find out, just as I came to find out what happened to Zek.
That is linear.
And potentially very annoying to you. But on the other hand, if you leave me alone and you put the Negus back the way he was when you met him, I guarantee you, you'll never have to talk with another Ferengi again. So what do you say?
Linguistic communication is tiresome.
My point exactly. Which is why I think you should send me back.
Quark! Quark! Quark, are you all right?
I think so. What about you?
Oh, stop toadying up to me! Quark is revolting! Just get me out of here! I have an orb to sell to the Bajorans!
Did you say sell?
I'm gonna make them pay through the nose! Speaking of nose, where's my beetle snap?
Oh, Negus, you're back! I'm so happy!
You're wrinkling my suit!
Whatever you say.
And now it is with great pride that I present the nominees for this year's Carrington Award. They are Dr. April Wade, Sinva, a Vulcan. Dr. Henri Roger, Chirurgeon G. Petrel, and Dr. Julian Bashir. The winner is Dr. Henri Roger.
Roger.
How can I give it to Roger?
Better luck next time.
Maybe in 40 or 50 years.
Julian.
You seem to be handling this well.
Believe me, I'm not.
I didn't think so.
Now remember what I said, Quark. If anyone asks, you have no idea what happened to the charity money.
You can count on me.
And you're sure you destroyed every last copy of the revised rules of acquisition?
The only place the new rules exist is inside my head.
Don't worry. Within a week, he'll have forgotten them all.
He'd better!
Sneezing all over Quark, Zek and...
I don't believe it, brother. After all you did for the Negus, he never even thanked you.
He doesn't have to thank me. He's the Negus. There's only one thing that bothers me. Now, don't get me wrong, I was honored to help the Negus, but it would have been nice if I'd been able to make a little profit for all my troubles.
That's all right. I made enough profit for the both of us.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Ferengi Benevolent Association. Did you know it was funded with Zek's personal fortune? I was the senior administrator, brother.
You embezzled money from the Negus?
Surprise!
Father would be proud.
The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.